Blog Talk Radio.
I will praise thee, O Lord. With my whole heart, I will show forth all thy marvelous work. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings, who maketh inquisition for blood. He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all the praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made in the net, which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nation that forget God, oh, my Lord. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. Very powerful, very poetic expression of both praise, acknowledgement, the power of God in judging those who refuse to accept the truth, and actually reflecting upon their destination as a result of forsaking truth. And at the same time, an inspirational message for those who trust in the Lord, knowing that your prayers are not going to go unanswered, knowing that your requests have not been ignored, and that your presence is acknowledged before the mighty hand of Almighty God. Oh, what a joyous and wonderful day it is in the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it. On this glorious and victorious day it is. And yes, it is. It is the 30th of March, 2022, and you've tuned in to the Manner of Speaking, where we're coming to you on this midweek with the table spread and the feast of the Lord is going on, the feasting of the tabernacles, the feasting of believers, of the fellowship of those who trust in God, who believe in the power of his word, who function under the anointing, the influence, the overwhelming presence of Almighty God. And let me tell you something, that sounds reflects a whole lot of inspirational messages within it. It tells us to continue on being humble, receiving that which God has provided for us, and not allowing the world and even the church world to influence our beliefs. Because so many are falling by the wayside. So many are being encaptured and ensnared by the devices of the wicked one. And let me tell you something. God is insurrecting prophets, prophetesses, teachers, workers of miracles, faith workers, pastors, to gather forth his people from all continents of the world and to bring them together in a unit of one. That's right. We are one through the power of Almighty God. And this is what he's doing. And I'm going to tell you something. You better come on board. Because here on board with this level of truth and divine revelation reflected in God's word is miraculous intervention. It's prosperity, it's excellent health, it's healing, it's redemption, it's divine power, divine anointing, divine favor, love, and all of the wonderful reflections of heaven being reflected through our earthen vessels, which are our bodies. God is working a great and divine plan through us, in us, with us, and by us. That's right. But you've got to get on board. You've got to lay aside every weight, every hindrance, and the iniquity, the sin that is connected with it. And you know what the word of God tells us in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, oh believers. We got to get to the believers first. The believers got to show the proof, the evidence of what is of God. Well, Jesus spake and told us, thy kingdom come. He's talking to Heavenly Father. Thy will be done. What is thy kingdom? The kingdom of God is health, wealth, prosperity, healing, wellness, deliverance, salvation, the working of miracles. These are the transitory results of the kingdom of heaven existing within us. And we therefore must walk the walk as we talk the talk and live the life that he has required of us. Oh, we're not perfect. But let me tell you something. We are an imperfect people that desire the presence of a perfect God. And when you desire, when you hunger and thirst after God's presence in your life, you don't have to tell your business to everybody that I'm going on a fast, I'm on consecration. No. Jesus said, you do your alms in secret, and he that seeth thee will reward thee openly. He said, but when you do your alms and you proclaim unto men, you have your reward of men. You know the reward to mankind doesn't last long. It's very temporal, very limited, subject to change at any moment. But oh, when you do it in secret and God sees you, he will reward you openly. So stand forth, stand out, and be counted as a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I'm telling you something, what a wonderful life. Many people feel that, oh, when I give my life to God and I accept the gift of salvation, and the imparting of the Holy Spirit abides within me, I'm going to be bored. I'm going to sit around and just do nothing and just rot. No. Jesus said to us, don't you believe what he said? I do. He said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. It's a wonderful life. I mean, we can go places. We can do things that are clean, that are good to the use of edification. We can connect with others. We can conjoin with others in this divine fellowship. No, we're to enjoy life. And some people become so holier than not because they've been indoctrinated. See, when you become indoctrinated with man-made philosophies, you'll believe that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't eat that. Don't go. No. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. No, we're to enjoy life, enjoy conversations, be able to talk on different levels, to communicate and to be in the comfort zone and to feel good about being with others. See, this is what has happened. And I know some may get too offended, but offensiveness sometimes is a good thing. It shows you where you are, who you are, and your era of your ways. Let me tell you something. Wearing floor length attire, covering up from the waist to the neck up, not wearing a attire that is considered to be attractive or desirable, and not styling your hair. And to the ladies, I'm talking to you. That's not holiness. Holiness is not on the external standpoint. Holiness is within you. And what's in you reflects on the outside of you. And Apostle Paul said to record straight, he said, be moderate and temperate in all things. That's right. You can dress up. You can style your hair attractively. You can wear jewelry. That's not a sin. These things are not a sin. Man makes a symbol because he puts his emphasis of adoration upon it. No, we're not to do that. We're to be attractive. We're to look a certain way because we have to attract those who are not of the circumcision, who are not in the faith. We have to be able to draw them to us. And we know that none comes to the Father except first the Father draw him. But we have to have a presentation that will cause people to want to get to know us. We don't have to stand on the street corner loud and proud and scream out, I'm a child of the Most High God. Your life, your attitude of gratitude, your persona should reflect who you are from within. And this is where salvation is. See, people got to have it vice versa. That's where they end up falling by the wayside because they lack understanding. He said, all thy getting, get it thou on understanding. You do this on the external level, but in the internal realm, where are you? Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, you clean the outside of the cup, but he said, but inwardly the cup is filthy. We got to clean up the inside. The inside has to clean up. The only way that we can clean the inside, because we can't do it, number one, on our own. Number one is that we have to have the infiltration, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because this is our teacher. This is our comforter. And you get a comforter because sometimes you get uneasy about life. You get uneasy about things. You have to have the comforter. But the teacher instructs us. And speaks to us. It speaks to us words of wisdom from God's word. Sometimes the Holy Spirit ministers to us about ourselves, things that we don't know about ourselves. Because don't forget, we're natural, but we contain a spiritual inbreeding. That's right. And an empty cup will be filled with whatever is needful and necessary when that person becomes thirsty. That's right. You're not selective when you're thirsty. This is the reason why you must be selective before you become thirsty. Desire the infiltration of God's presence. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Teacher, the Holy God, the Comforter. He's the one that does the work within us. And see, when you become external as opposed to internalized, you'll start looking at congregations as being your salvation. A congregation is not your salvation. If you're not careful, that congregation can be a condemnation because it can lead you down the wrong path. That's why you must have the Holy Spirit. You must. This is a base level requirement. You must have the baptism. That's right. The baptism must be the overflowing of the Holy Spirit because you need it. It's the keeper. It keeps us. It leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. We don't become indoctrinated and self-righteous and puffed up. And so many people have the position and the reflection of image confused with salvation. That's not where it's at. God is calling us unto holiness, holiness, completeness in him, in the internal perspective. This is where the anointing abides within us. This is where salvation is encompassed within us. This is where the anointing dwells within us. This is where the gifts of God flow from within us and it presents itself externally. We've got to get it right, people. This is the reason why we have so much division. We have so many isms and fissures because we're not walking according to the truth. And Jesus told us, he said, you know what? You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. If I set you free, okay, yeah, you've been set free at that moment. You're timed. But oh, when it makes you free, you have no excuse. It's time to come back to the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what congregation you're a member of, you better belong to the true church. And you know what a true church is? You cannot join it. You cannot write your name on a membership roll. You cannot fill out a membership card. You can't do it with this church, this real church of Jesus Christ. You have to be born in it. When Jesus said this, stop contradicting the truth and making excuses but this is what my pastor said. I don't care what he said. I don't care what he said. God doesn't care. If Apostle Paul said, if an angel come to me and preach anything other than what has been revealed, he said, I let that angel be accursed. You cannot join a church. That brick and mortar building, Jesus is not looking at that. He's looking at a church, a people. You are the church. Point to yourself right now at this moment. This is a miracle, rhema, breakthrough moment. Point to yourself and say, I am the church. You are the church. This is the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. Not a building. He don't need, why would the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords need a brick and mortar structure? He doesn't need it. There's no essence. Because it was created through fleshly hands or carnal provisions. No, the church is within you. This is the temple. And the problem is in this day in society, there's a disconnect between the true church and the temple. And people have it all scrambled. And we've got to get it right, people, because God wants to do so many miracles. But he's waiting on us to come to the realization of what truth is. It's time for us to undo the wickedness that's taking control in this land. How can we do it? By walking in the power of the word, by functioning under the anointing. It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, they're the same. You receive power after the infiltration of the Holy Spirit. Because why? This is the effigy of God. This is the presence of God encased within your temple. That's right. You become a temple when you become a believer. And then even more so, you become a believer, you become a doer. That's right. That's right. And this is the time for us to get it done. Get it done. That's right, because we look at the headlines. It looks pretty dismal. We're looking at the random acts of violence, of racism, of impartiality, of prejudice, of hatred, of malice, of greed. Now, all these things are working. Jesus told us this. Don't become unraveled. I know we're carnal beings too. Sometimes we feel things. We hear things through the media. We get upset. He said, these things will come. He said, but know this. I am the victory. Jesus said this, that overcometh the world, even your faith. So when we walk in him and connect with him, we are more, Apostle Paul said, than conquerors through him that loved us. And we need to get it done. And he gives that. Thus that charge that we are to go in all the world and teach and preach the gospel, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, not man-made doctrines, not don't do this and don't do that. No, not dress this way, don't dress that way. No, we're to go into the world and let them know that Christ is alive and he sitteth on the right-hand throne of God. And he is our high priest, our mediator, our savior, our Messiah. And it's through him we attain the powers of heaven when it's needful and necessary to move mountains, those who are deaf and they hear, to open up blinded eyes, to cure afflictions, to even insurrect and raise those who are dead to society. That's right. And even so, God has called people back into the land of the living beyond that. That's God. And some people say that it's a marvel for medicine. It's God. Because you know something? He is the determining factor in the existence of mankind. So we need to do these things and become free in the spirit. See, the Holy Spirit didn't come to bind you. Christ didn't come to bind you into some incoherent doctrine of naysayers, don't do this, don't do that, into an organization. He came to free us. And he that the Son set free is free and free indeed. But you have to appreciate and celebrate and walk in your freedom. Thank God for Jesus. Just thank God for the truth. And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, or Antarctica, where the Spirit, say with me, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Say it. Say it and know it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And we are celebrating our liberation in Christ. There's no bond of free. There's no Jew or no Greek. There is no male or no female. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And what a beautiful and divine revelation it is. It is on this Wednesday, March the 30th, 2022. Another day, another chapter in your book of life. And let me tell you something. We need to get about our Father's business. We're always saying, well, Lord, I have prayer requests for myself. That's wonderful. But you know what? When you put God first and you go about his business, God will make a way out of no way, even if he has to do some mass reconstruction to make the way happen. He'll tear down some structures. He'll move some mountains. He'll relocate some people that have been sitting in your way, standing in your way. He'll relocate them. He said, you know, in the psalmist even says that you go to seek the wicked, you won't be able to find them because God will send them away running. That's right. That's right. Remember the children of Israel when they went into that camp of Samaria, God allowed those people, those Samarians, to proceed to the fact that the children of Israel came fully loaded with a mass army ready to take them out. And what happened? They dropped their goods, and God told them to go in, the children of Israel, go in and possess the land. It's time for us to possess the land. Because God is insurrecting and raising up so many of us to become great possessors of material wealth. Why? Because the kingdom of God has to be financed. We got to get people off the streets. That's right. These are the works. These are the works. Faith without works is dead. Is none, is null, is to no effect. We got to get these people off the street, all my believers. We got to get these people fed, my believers, with natural food and then spiritual food. We got to get these people to the mindset that they are created in the image of God and God have need of them. We got to do our work. That's why God is giving so many of us material, financial wealth. And this is what it's for. It's not for me to sit on the French Riviera and talk about, look at me, look at me. It's for me to finance the work of God and to help others. Of course, take care of my natural necessities because I have to live this life and I have to be an example, but to take care of the people of God. And this is what it is. This is what it is. And let me tell you something. God said that he took the wealth of the unjust and gave it to the just. So we're receiving that in the name of Jesus right now because we got people we need to help. Some people need deliverance. And let them know deliverance is just a moment away. When God fills up our purses, we need to start digging in our pockets. That's my philosophy now. When God fills my purse, I'm going to start digging in my pocket and start helping people the more. I've been doing it, praise God, and I don't go publicizing things because you do your own in secret, and he just sees he will reward thee openly. And this is what you need to do too. As much as God gives us, as much as we should give to others. And all remembrance, we do it all in remembrance of Jesus Christ, because Father God gave us one of the greatest sacrifice. Oh, when he gave his only begotten son. Who would ever be willing to give their only begotten son? Oh, Abraham, many of you say, well, Abraham, he was going to sacrifice Isaac, but that was a test to see that he would fall through with what God asked of him. God wasn't going to allow him to kill Isaac because the fulfillment of the prophecy had to come forth. But, oh, he tested him and he passed the test. And thank you, God. God gave his only begotten son because he loves us so. He desires what is the greatest for all of us and the abundant, glorious, and victorious life. And we just thank Father God today on this day of fellowship, midweek fellowship. Many people say it's hump day. Well, it's the middle of the week. And let me tell you something. We need to abide within the power of God's presence. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're protected. We're kept. We're covered. We're covered with his feathers. Oh, and you're talking about a place of intimacy? That's indeed a validated place of intimacy. And as we've told you that we're going to be addressing questions and concerns that many of you have, and yes, you're still asking about the Exodus group we're working on. It is a work under development because we've got to make sure that everything is structured where it's going to be beneficial to those who are questionable believers and even those who have left and departed the faith. We've got to make sure that everything is done correct. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming forth. And I will be sure to let you know when the Exodus group will be structured and that you will be able to join the group and intercede to the group and even recommend others, that's right, to the group. And it won't matter where in the world you are. We're one through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ because this is the only church that matters, the body of believers. That's right. And it's not based on geographical locations. It's not based upon economical specificity. It's not based upon educational proliferations. It's based upon faith in Jesus Christ and being born again. That's right. So here we are. We're going to address a concern. And it is a concern, a question slash concern, from one of our listeners in Seattle, Washington. And here is the question. Can a Christian also explore the world of the occult? Wow. I'm not going to go to the base level areas where the individual asked the question, but I'm just going to give you some brief background information. This person has become somewhat disenfranchised with their pursuit of the faith, and they've sought other ways to attempt to get a higher level of acclaim or understanding as it relates to what their purpose is. Let me tell you this. Thank you, first of all, for communicating. That's right. See, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, knock on the door shall be opened unto you. So you're asking a question because you're concerned, and from what you've reflected in your correspondence, you have been tampering. Let me tell you something. Don't do it. I know that sometimes this is the reason why I'm going back to this again. Write this down. Embed this in your spirit. Stop associating your relationship in God with an earthly congregation or organization. Because every single time I'm here to tell you, I am a living, breathing, blessed, prosperous testimony to tell you that. I have been there. I have experienced all of that. Because if you do, you're going to come up empty-handed every time. Because, and then I hate to say this, but I've got to speak truthfully. So many congregational leaders are caught up in the moment of their appointment, of their office, and they become programmed to act and react in certain aspects, acclimate to that organization, as opposed to the Spirit of God. And, you know, Peter said, we obey God rather than man. But many of them obey man and dismiss what God said. You're not going to prosper from that. And you, the people that are sitting under that type of a presence, of that type of a circumstance, are going to plummet. There'll be things going on with them because you're so set in your position in organization, you're out of touch with them. That's not God's way. And this is what happens. As Christians, we need to go in with the knowledge of God within us and understand that the power of God abides in the inside of us, and it reflects outwardly and manifests itself through miracles and other works of wonder. We should understand that. We've got to become deprogrammed. Stop putting confidence in leadership that you see with your eyes, because remember, the Spirit of God does not always strive with man, but that he's also flesh, even with a female leader. And don't allow yourself to be caught up in that person, because you'll start worshiping and adoring the person and the personality as opposed to the author and the finisher of the faith, which is the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ. This is what every level of our actions regarding worship should reflect. It shouldn't reflect a man or a woman. And this is what happens. And then when they don't stand up and defend you or don't respond to you in a way that you anticipated, what happens? You get discouraged. You become despondent. You become just disenfranchised. And you feel left out. And then you feel as though that you failed. And then don't ever equate, and I'm going to say this, I don't know who this is for, don't charge God with the ignorance of mankind. Don't do it. It's wrong. And it's not fair. And it's not right. When you see that there's something in that setting that is not correct, you need to ask God, first of all, to give you strength. And walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, except what the Holy Spirit tells you. See, the problem is this. We want to control the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells us good things about ourselves and what we want. Oh, we love it. We just feed. But when the Holy Spirit comes with a correction, and you know the Holy Teacher corrects us. You think about being an earthly educator. I can tell you there are times that we even correct students when they're in error. Are we doing it to hurt them? No. We're doing it to help correct the error so they can grow from the experience. When the Holy Spirit corrects you about something and shows you something about yourself inside that congregation, you may not like what you hear. Go forward. You may not like what the words are. It may show us up, but show me up so I can do something about it. Take the instruction. Take the correction. Take the chastisement. For as many as the Lord loveth, he chasteneth it. Why is he chastening it? Because he don't want to see us harm ourselves and harm others. So take the chastisement and go forward. And oftentimes God is telling us, have a single true intimate relationship with him. This is where salvation begins. It doesn't begin in a building. Let's get this right. It begins having a relationship with the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, our High Priest, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord of Lords, and our King of Kings. This is where it begins. Not the other way around, with a building or a congregation or with a family that's in the congregation or with a acquaintance in the congregation. It begins with God through Jesus Christ. And then comes the Holy Spirit to seal the whole contract. The Holy Spirit Spirit seals the contract. It does. And when we walk in the knowledge and understanding of all of these things, and we have to grow in the faith. I'm still a student. I'm still learning. You know, since 1978 circa, I'm still learning. I'm still gaining momentum. You might say, oh, that's just a long time. Yes, it is. It's a long time, but I'm still learning. I'm still a student, and I'm still learning. And we have to be willing to learn. And the benefit of what we learn, and to apply what we learn. So what you apply once you've learned something is called credible knowledge. And you'll see a difference once you attain credible knowledge. But let's go back. And sometimes having that experience can cause you to just simply become disenfranchised. You know, the illusion has created a reality that's too harsh, and now you want to go find another way. Occultism is reflected as dark practices, okay? And we know how God feels about dark practices. He even said, suffer not a witch to live. And as a result of not suffering or allowing a witch to live, you're not talking about cut their heads off and do all this. He said, don't suffer them to live. That means accept them. For teaching dark practices, because dark practices reflect satanic influence. Reject them. Turn them away. You remember the woman who Peter and the other apostles she began to follow them as they were going about and ministering, seeing the works that they were doing in the name of Jesus. They were doing miracles. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that they had, that Christ promised us, that he had, abides within us. And Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do in my name. And she was about following him. And then at the same time, Peter saw that spirit in her. See, the Holy Spirit shows us things about people, about ourselves. And you know what? Peter saw that spirit of divination in her. So divination is an occult practice where you are channeling in with spirits or forces or elements or frequencies outside the physical realm. And Peter rebuked that spirit in that woman. And when he rebuked that spirit, the Holy Spirit in him casted that spirit out of that woman. Well, you know, the people that were gaining financial activity from this woman, you know they were upset. So you know they were after them because that provision was closed. So seeing that occult practices can sometimes give people insights from the level of dark world practices, it is totally rebuked by God. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination, telepathy, clairvoyance, all of these things are repulsed by the power of God. And cast it out. But there's accounting as evil. It takes people into areas that is not good for them, that will impact their life in a negative way. So no. And then you even consider Saul. How many remember King Saul? When God had promised David the seat as the king of Israel. Well, you know, Saul is the one who acknowledged him, first of all, because David, before he was king, he slew Goliath, who was the Philistinian terrorist at that time. He was the giant that wiped out armies single-handedly. The Philistinian army would stand behind it. And then Goliath would just go in and just wipe those armies out. They'd go into the territory. So the Philistinians were the most feared people in the region. They had this big giant. But see, David knew that God had him on an assignment. Seasons reflect assignments. And this assignment was to remove the threat in the land. In doing so, this would draw attention to him, because looking at the physical stature of young David, who was a teenager perhaps at that time, compared to the stature of a 9 foot plus 500 pound being, and that this small, scrawny young man took down this huge giant, everybody had to have known, even if they didn't believe in the monotheistic persuasion of Almighty God's presence, that God had to have been with him in order for him to have done that, because physical explanation, even a scientific explanation, could never be able to thoroughly explain how such a small young man, not armed with the heaviest of battalion as even this giant was, plus had the whole Philistinian army behind him, how he was able to kill him with smooth stone. And then on top of it, as a testimony, to cut his head off. That was God letting him know, my favor's with you. You said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. And look what I did through you. You are a living testimony. Well, you know something? People were cheering about, the giant is gone, the giant is gone. You know the Philistine army fled. They couldn't believe it. Their greatest weapon in their arsenal had been wiped out by a little teenage young man. Well, they didn't know that God was with this man. And see, God will give you the power to walk over the enemy. He'll be your footstool. That's right. He'll be your roof, man. He'll wipe your feet on. The very people try to snare you up, talk you down, walk you down, plot, plan against you, got to have them as your roof mat. He said, hold your peace, and I'll make your enemies your footstool. They'll be your footstool to hoist you up to a greater level of anointing. And here, Saul was happy. But what happened? That happiness turned to jealousy, because he knew that God had an assignment for this young man. He saw the anointing on David. Yeah, David, he failed. Yeah, he lay with Bathsheba. He did that. God forgave him. We're not perfect. We're imperfect people that designed for the perfect God. And he became envious of him, because people were recognizing this man. They were probably overlooking King Saul and saying, you know that young man? But he made him the head of his battalion. Okay? But at the same time, he was envious of him. And as a result of him knowing what God had planned for him, he became rebellious within his spirit. Saul became rebellious. And he desired to destroy David. He tried to talk him down. He tried to get others to turn against him, make false assumptions against him, and all of these things. And when that didn't quite turn out the way he wanted it, he thought to physically harm him, literally kill him, because he knew what God had planned. But you know something? Long story short, Saul departed from his faith in God, and he began to go after the faith of darkness, which was the powers of enchantment. He started to go to the soothsayers. He started to go to those who worked of enchantment, to the sorcerers, and to get advice from him, and to actually indulge himself into those practices. Well, you see, that's an abomination before God, because we know that's ungodly. And those types of wills and anomalies don't work against God's people. God will kill you dead for trying to work sorcery against his people. You tried it, ask God to forgive you, don't do it anymore. Trying to work witchcraft against his people, God will destroy you, because the Holy Spirit diffuses everything. And it connects back to God. God gets the information, and he's going to deal with people who even tried that garbage. God was so angry with Saul, he allowed Samuel. See, God can do this. We step back and say, okay, Lord. He allowed Samuel to come from his rest and to warn Saul of the wrath that was to come because of his disobedience, that God saw him dealing with those works of enchantment, which is occultism. And it's totally opposite to the working of the Holy Spirit and the powers of God. He was warned. What happened? Saul fell victim to his own doings. He fell to demise. He lost everything. Not only you might say, oh, he was killed. Well, he lost his life. Yeah, but he lost his vision before he did through occultic practices. So the recommendation is for you to do this. Remove yourself. Get rid of those books, of those letters. So sometimes they do send you these letters telling you to read the letter and to touch the letter, and you'll see something. Get rid of those tarot cards. Get rid of those candles. Get rid of all that garbage. Throw it away. And I hope that you're listening. You said that you'd be listening. Get rid of it. Throw it in the garbage. Cleanse yourself and ask God to forgive you for falling by the wayside. Because, listen, we all get tempted. We all get tested. But sometimes we do feel like, no, this is not working. Look at Hezekiah. You know the workings of Hezekiah. God used that man in a great and mighty way. He's a great and mighty prophet. Hezekiah got to the point he just gave up. He was just weary. He was battle weary. And he just was just feeling dismal. Some people say depressed. He was feeling overwhelmed. And he just couldn't take it anymore. And he turned his back to the wall and just willed God to just take him out of here. What did God do? God gave him extended years of his life, and God moved his burden. He will move that same burden according to you as well. So cleanse yourself of these things and get those things out of your life, because they're going to destroy you. That's right. And let me tell you something. Those practices bring in spirits. And you know something? Your temple was clean once. And because it was clean once, those spirits that feed into occultism will come with other spirits to attempt to control and manipulate you as a previous believer. Come back to the faith. This is what the Exodus group is about, helping people to reestablish and reconnect back to the true faith in God. And do that. And let us know how well things turn out for you. It's going to be a process. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to come together for you. And we're thanking God for you and for those reaching out. And you can always send those questions or those concerns that you have. We're helpers one to another. None of us don't put ourselves on a pedestal, because we're all subject to fault and failure and to sometimes questioning ourselves, because there's a lot of temptation out there. When you're broke down to the last dollar, sometimes you look at and you'll see people who are not even pursuing a relationship with God. You'll see their prosperity. Your spirit can become grieved. That's right. And but you know, this is the reason why you have to earnestly contend for the faith. As I've learned to earnestly contend for the faith that was once received unto the saints. And God bless you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, glorious, and victorious week. We will be coming back to you again this week. I will make sure that I post on Facebook when we come back with manner of speaking. And in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we all have a divine purpose to fulfill. And listen, we're going to fulfill that purpose, and we're going to let the miracles of God flow in our life. And I just want to give you the scripture as we're getting ready to prepare to leave you at this time, but we're going to come back and just make sure that we're coming at a time that you're sitting down and your mind is open and your heart is fixed. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, the Lord. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask you to think. You've got your host, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, also known as your Motor City Maharani, saying, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is worthy of honor, he's worthy of glory, and he's worthy of praise, and we'll see you again real soon. Oh, yes. Yeah.